Yeah, the Drive for Five specialist taking over OTB Sports Radio all day from 7 a.m. to midnight with build-up to the All-Ireland football final. It's all with thanks to Tech7. Simply tech it and leave it. You're very welcome along to the Kerry Hour here on Off the Ball. We're in truly uncharted territory for probably the first time ever. We've got to try and build up the hopes and expectations of Kerry people. The cockiness is gone. The confidence is done. We just sat back and it seems that we've accepted that the five in a row is going to happen. We've got 21 All-Ireland medals, All-Ireland senior football medals with us on the show this afternoon. We're going to have Mikey Sheehy with us very shortly. We're going to have Dara O'Connor. We're going to have Mark O'Shea. We're going to have Barry John Keane with us as well. And in studio for the entire hour, we've got a man who's got four of those All-Ireland medals, Sean O'Sullivan. How are things?
Good on, yeah. Good. You kind of set the scene well there. We're travelling in hope, I suppose, really, on Sunday. Well, you don't have far to travel, but I suppose for the people coming up from Kerry, I know a lot of them will come up on Saturday to... We enjoy our weekend in the big smoke, you know, but they are travelling, I'd say, more in hope than expectation. And it's strange. It is strange. It's weird going into an All-Ireland final with maybe the neutrals, dare I say it, shouting for Kerry. What do you think?
Well, I heard that after the whole David Goff situation, all the neutrals had jumped ship and are now supporting Dublin, so that's bad news for anybody who was counting on the neutrals. We do want to focus on the positives here, and I promise that is the last time the referee's name is going to be mentioned over the course of the next hour. We do want to focus on a couple of the positives and happier times, and you brought up a great moment from 2007, which I'd completely forgotten about. And by a great moment, I mean something that kind of sums up where we're at in terms of the transformation of Dublin, especially. It's the All-Ireland semi-final, Kerry against Dublin. Do you want to describe to us what happened?
Yeah, so... fantastic game to be part of. I suppose we were in the midst of that great squad that got to six finals in a row from 04 to 09. We were going for the back-to-back in 07, and we had kind of stuttered and stammered our way through the championship really on, and obviously faced Dublin in the semi-final. And right after half-time, I remember Declan O'Sullivan getting a great ball from Killian Young on the edge of the square, turning and sticking one in past Stephen Cluxton into the bottom corner, and we kind of took over from there. You know, we set out at half-time to kind of take control of the game. We did, and a great score by Declan, great goal. And it looked from there on in that we were going to, you know, push on and you know, ease our way into an All-Ireland final. But obviously with Dublin, you just don't do that. And they really came back at us in the middle period of the second half. And they actually brought it down to a point when I think we dropped one short into Cluxton's hands. And I suppose, as you said, it shows how far that guy has come in his development.
So what does he do when he gets the ball into his hands?
So he starts soloing slowly out towards the Cusack stand, and I think we just let him have it, to be honest. You know, you often hear players shouting, let him have it, let the keeper have it, and you just didn't expect, because I mean, this is 07, so Cluxton still has a good few championship years under his belt at this stage, and
he's still an all-star, like,
absolutely. And what he did was, you know, just, I suppose, with the pressure, I mean, what's that, 65 minutes less 4 minutes to go, he just basically kicks one straight down the throat of Kieran Donaghy, who's standing out in the middle of the field for some reason all by himself. We just slowly worked the ball, a lot of patience, slowly worked the ball back up into the corner, and it found its way into the hands of Dara O'Shea. And Dara won't like me for saying this, but he wasn't always the most brilliant kicker, kick passer in the world, but he plays an absolute beautiful ball across the field into the arms of the guy you want on the ball at that stage, Colm Cooper. And I had just came on actually about maybe 5-6 minutes beforehand, and I remember Pat O'Shea saying to me, because we were under a lot of pressure, and he was just saying, look, get on the ball, we'll take any score at this stage. And he actually said to me, even if it's a punched point, just punch one over the bar if we have to. And Gooch played me a lovely little slip ball, got absolutely nailed in the process by a Dublin defender.
Tommy outside is saying he dived.
Yeah, Tommy says that I should watch that one back. I've watched it a few times. I'm gonna go with he got nailed, Tommy. Luckily enough for me, I was able to punch it over the bar, and it extended our lead to 2 points. I met Phil Egan outside earlier on. I know you're not big fans of the punched points around here, but he's let me away with that one. Because
you fisted it over from like 25 yards.
Well, the goal wasn't done. The goal wasn't done, and I was only doing what my manager had told me. So as far as I was concerned, I got the job done. And in fairness, we saw it out from there, and of course went on to win the 07 All-Ireland, and it was the back-to-back, which was great.
Because it's an amazing moment that kind of sums up Dublin in microcosm, I think, in that decade. You take that situation this weekend and Dublin are a point down with 65 minutes on the clock and Stephen Cluxton has the ball soloing out from goal. There is no way in hell he is kicking that ball to Kieran Donaghy, who might be... Well, first of all, Donaghy is not playing anymore. second of all, he's not going to kick it down the throat of any Kerry player in that situation. It would be the most unbecoming thing if we saw that this weekend, but yet at that time it was the most typical Dublin thing to see.
Yeah, and it was an All-Ireland semi-final. Dublin were, you know, they were still a team in development. They hadn't maybe got to the big day, whereas we had been around the block since 04. A lot of our team actually were there from 02. We had won in 04, lost in 05, and now we were back, won again in 06, and here we were in 07. We were an experienced side, Owen, and maybe that little bit of pressure got to Stephen that day and he just went for a long ball, and I absolutely 110% agree with you. If that happens, if we win that situation on Sunday...
He's cutting back inside and he's hand passing.
There's no way he's trying that ball, absolutely no way. It just wouldn't happen under this current Dublin regime. Jim Gavin wouldn't allow it to happen. The guys out in front of Stephen Cluxton wouldn't allow it to happen, and the guy himself wouldn't make that same mistake.
2 years later then, Gooch gets a bit of revenge for his hit. He didn't really need revenge considering the fact that Kerry won the game on that occasion, but it's 10 years on this year. It's kind of the summer to be talking about at the start of the Earwigs game. Mm. You were obviously involved that day as well. Coming back from the brink that season.
Yeah, you know, I often, when we get together, the Kerry lads, we often talk about 09, and it's a head-scratching one, Owen, to be honest, because it was a year, Jack O'Connor was back in charge after Pat O'Shea had done his 2 years. We'd lost the All-Ireland the previous year to Tyrone. And it was a year that started so well. We won the league, we won Division 1, beating Derry in the final. And, you know, looking back, maybe that was papering over some cracks. You know, we thought maybe we were further down the road than we actually were. Mm. Got to the Munster Championship, drew with Cork and Killarney, 13-1, 10, I think, low-scoring Munster semi-final. And we got blitzed in Páirc Uí Chaoimh a week later. They beat us out the gate.
It seemed like something was wrong from the outside. We couldn't figure out what was going on in the Kerry camp.
Yeah, do you know, I kind of compare it to what's possibly going on with the Irish rugby team at the moment, and that Irish rugby team that went into the 2007 World Cup. From the inside looking out, we couldn't put our finger on what was wrong.
Right.
And I know that people outside looking in, Kerry supporters, were constantly on phone and shows and so on saying, no, there's something wrong here. But we just felt that there was always one big performance in us. We just couldn't, I don't know, was it maybe we were on the road a long time or what it was, but we just couldn't find that little bit of cohesiveness within the group to drive on. And I mean, we pulled ourselves out of some real holes. I mean, we went away to Longford on a wet day, played terribly, got out of there. Very, very lucky to get over Sligo and Tralee.
Yeah.
We had Dermot Murphy to thank for saving a penalty. We won by a point. And I mean, it was unheard of, you know, Kerry only beating Sligo by a point in the championship, with the greatest respect to Sligo. Then we had a few fellas going offside and different things like that, and there was crisis meetings about crisis meetings, and then we played Antrim above in Tullamore, and again played poorly, but got out of there winning by about 6 points in the end, I think. And, you know, people often say, was it a game that changed your year, or was it something that happened in training? It might have been. Paddy O'Shea often talks about the Kerry 97 team. They played Cavan in a challenge match up the country a couple of months before the championship started, or after the league, and he felt that day that Kerry were going to go on and do something special. For us that year, it was actually that train journey down from Tullamore. We were on the train, fellas were down, you know, the management, you could see, were, you know, pissed off at us, and next thing, the draw came through on the radio that we had got Dublin and Croke Park in the quarterfinal, and it's amazing that the carriage just turned giddy with excitement. Fellas started playing card games, they started talking about training next week. Everything was forgotten about. The fellas that went offside after the Sligo game were all of a sudden back in and driving it, and I mean that's
Tomás and Gooch.
Yeah. Look, that's in the past, and you know, there was different things floating around at the time, but you know, the two lads went on to have fabulous years, and I mean, you just mentioned him. Gooch started that whole 2009 quarterfinal off with a brilliant goal, and we focused a lot in that game of trying to quieten the crowd.
Yeah,
you know, and that's an easy thing to say about Dublin. You know, Dublin at Croke Park are a different animal with the crowd behind them, and the focus going into that game was, can we quieten them? Now, did we expect to score a goal after, what was it, 30, 40 seconds? We didn't, but you know, when you have the likes of Gooch in the team, then anything is possible.
Absolutely. It's one of the things. There's probably two main years that you can pick out. 2009, in terms of like ambushing the Dubs, I think 2009 is one. The other one, of course, has to be 1975. And I'm delighted to say that one of the protagonists of that year, Mikey Sheehy, is on the line. Good afternoon to you, Mikey. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
Let's talk about that then. Sean here, Sean O'Sullivan in studio with me, mentions the giddy nature of drawing the Dubs on that occasion. Was this a giddy nature of this youngest Kerry team of all time going into that 75 All-Ireland against Dublin?
Yeah, it probably was, because I think we went up we had great expectations, okay, but I think our fans didn't really, you know, because Nick O'Dwyer took over the team, I think, around March 1975. We had a disastrous league campaign. I think we got hammered by Meade in the league quarter final. Johnny Cullity had been kind of in charge, and Mick O was his right hand man, but the reverse roles, and Mick O, the famous 28 nights in a row training regime came in, and you know, he got us up to a fitness level. The team was very young. I think there was about five or six of us were playing under 21 that year, because Kerry won the treble. We won minor, senior, and under 21. But we went up, and you know, we expected to win, really. I'd be truthful with you, you know, and I don't know. Sean describes the giddiness in the carriage, and I can understand. Just going off the pint slightly, I can remember meeting the Gooch on the Tuesday morning, and he was going on to work, and he was actually hopping down the street because of the draw against Dublin. But going back to our one anyway in 75, it was, I suppose, it was our first All-Ireland final, which is something similar, senior final, something similar to the lads next Sunday. And I think the fans kind of were just hoping that we'd put up a good show, but no, we went up to win, and thankfully things worked out well in the day.
Hi, Mikey, Sean here. How's it going?
Very good, Sean.
I hear I've been away for a couple of weeks. There's a good demand for tickets below, I hear.
Oh, there is. Jeannie Mac, that is the big problem, Sean, unfortunately. That's never enough, is there?
You're always a good man for a few, though, aren't you?
Kerry Dublin, like, I mean, it's the dream final when you think of Kerry, like, having 37 All-Irelands, and then you have Dublin, who are making massive strides to catch up to us, and now they're going for history, you know, and and there's no doubt, like, the two best teams in the country are playing next Sunday, like.
Absolutely. Can I ask you about the forwards, Mikey, especially the Kerry forwards? What are they going to have to bring on Sunday? You know, they all talk about the prospective matchups and who's going to pick up who.
Yeah.
But what do the Kerry forwards have to bring? Like, you went in 75, you had a young forward line yourself included. Kerry obviously are looking at the young fellas like Shawnee Shea and David Clifford. It's going to be a big day for them. And first of all, how are they going to handle it, you think, like you did? And secondly, what can they bring to the table to hopefully get us over the line?
Well, I think that the two guys that you mentioned in particular, like David Clifford, was with us last year when I was still involved with Eamon Fitzmaurice, and Shawnee Shea was there for a couple of years with us. But these guys, like, the one thing that I notice about them outside of them being fabulous footballers, their temperament is excellent, you know. Nothing will faze these guys next Sunday, you know. And, like, I mean, obviously, they'll have to bring outside of being clinical when they're in possession of the ball, and I think they will get chances. And I think these guys, and plus Stephen O'Brien and Paul Ganey, and Killian Spillane or whoever else is on, will be clinical. We will, if we get chances, we'll have to take them. And I think I'd be confident that we will take them. But I think the huge thing from these guys is that they'll have to work like dogs, absolutely, without the ball, you know, against these Dubs, you know, and stop them. Because how many times do Dublin start attacks, counter-attacks in the back, you know, and they'll kill you? We saw it particularly, I suppose, in the All-Ireland semi-final. The first 10-12 minutes in the second half was frightening, you know, so we'll just have to stop that. But I would have to say that, you know, from probably midfield, from number 8 up to number 15, I think we're every bit as good as the Dubs, but tis at the back defensively that I would certainly hope that we could step up a little bit on the Tyrone game, particularly in the first half. That certainly wouldn't do against Dublin. And you rightly said there, the matchups are going to be huge on both sides, you know. But I mean, there's exciting forward talent on both sides. Conor Callaghan, Paul Mannion, Dean Rock, Kieran Kilkenny, my God, the boys. And at the other end, Stephen O'Brien, Paul Ganey, Shawnee Shea and David Clifford, you know. So it's a very exciting prospect, really, you know.
Mikey, we were joined by Colm Nally earlier on today, the Meath coach, and he had some very interesting things to say about the temperament of the Dubs, and I guess in terms of how clued in they are in terms of dealing with a referee and how they manage to speak to referees in a better manner to all the other teams around the country. Like, we can talk about talking to referees, and it's something that you had a close quarter example of in 1978 when Paddy Cullen got chatting to a referee a little bit too long. It's a far cry from the way the Dubs used to deal with things like that.
Sorry, I missed that question, sorry.
The Dubs and the way they deal with the referees, Mikey.
But again, look, you know, they're on the road so long, you know. And again, I think it comes down from the leadership that Jim Gavin shows, you know, the management, Declan Darcy, you know, Gio, all these guys, you know, they're top class. And they're obviously well coached and everything they do, you know, they question the referee. But that comes from years of experience, you know. I mean, I think we probably did something similar ourselves. I think most teams, experienced teams in particular, you'll always try and get the referee on your side. And you're hoping in a 50-50 situation or 50-50 call that he'll go your way. But that's just one of the many talents these Dublin guys have. You know, they're very clued in, you know, because I was up, I remember, a few months back at the sad occasion of Anton O'Toole's funeral, and all the old Dubs were there, obviously, as well. And most of the, I'd say 90% of the present day lads are there, and they're very polished guys. They do everything right, really, you know, on the field and off the field, and they're a credit to the county. And I suppose it's up to Offaly now to try and knock them off their perch if we can do that, and it won't be easy.
Yeah, that's kind of the point I was trying to get at, the level of professionalism, the level of detail that they had to go to, Mikey. And I guess when we look at these two different eras that we've been mentioning here, there is one parallel. Like, we can talk about it as a rivalry, but ultimately, in your era, it seemed that it was a rivalry that leaned one way in your favour quite a bit, whereas in this current era, certainly this decade, it's a one-way street in the rivalry as well, isn't it? So this is a huge moment in terms of the crossroads of that rivalry. If Kerry managed to somehow win on Sunday, we will talk about this era in a very, very different manner.
Absolutely, you know, because I suppose when we started, we won in 75, and then Dublin had won 74, but now people must remember then again that it wasn't as lopsided as you say, because Dublin beat us in 76 and 77 to bring us down a peg or two. Then we got a run on them again, you know. But it's, you see, if you look at next Sunday, and if Kerry are lucky enough to win, which I think Kerry are in with a right fighting chance, you know, it could be a start of a golden generation for Kerry. It could be roles reversed again, because there's some massive talent coming through, particularly the Kerry have won the last five minor titles in a row, and you know, and there's massive, as Sean will well know, there's massive work being done at underage level in Kerry, and these unheralded coaches that have been working at this for the last, I suppose, this plan has been in place for the last 7-8 years, and it's now coming to fruition, you know. So I think even if Dublin win next Sunday, I think it's only a matter of time before Kerry are going to win in All-Ireland. Kerry are definitely going to win in All-Ireland within the next 2 to 3 years, and hopefully it'll be next Sunday, you know.
Mikey, just we always talk about how the players deal with the build up to the big day. But what about management? You were obviously with Eamon for a good few years, and you saw it from a player's perspective as well. But how does a management approach the game, which obviously is so you know, meticulous now in terms of planning for kickouts from Cluxton and who's going to pick up who? But I suppose at this stage, Peter and his team will have all that done and be ready for the weekend.
Oh, they will, you know. In fairness to Peter, like, he's done exceptionally well for a guy that has come in, you know. I think was it 3 years he was involved with the minor team, you know. I think he was involved with John O'Keefe and Mickey Ned O'Sullivan as a selector for 1 year. But they've done very well. I mean, if you look at them during the National League, got to the National League final. It was probably a disappointing performance in the league final, but I mean, you know, I think Peter's always said, like, that he wanted to discover new players, he wanted to put his own stamp on the team, which he is. And I think the addition, I suppose, of holding on to Morris Fitz from the outgoing setup, and also bringing in the likes of Donny Buckley, you know, and Tommy Griffin obviously came with him as well, you know, I think that's a very, very good setup. And I mean, Donny has massive experience, particularly being involved with Mayo, coming up against Dublin, and I suppose they were, as everybody says, I know the Mayo people hate hearing this, but there's no doubt that they were the most unluckiest team not to win in All-Ireland, you know. And they will have been meticulous in their planning, and they'll have looked at video stuff, hours of video stuff, and just condense it down, and they'll try and attack certain areas. They'll, you know, even though there's very few weaknesses in that Dublin set up, but I'm sure the boys will attack a few on Sunday.
You'll be asked this about 100 times or more between now and Sunday. Are Kerry going to do it?
I think, I'll be truthful, you know, and I'll give you an honest answer. I think that Dublin have to be hot favourites, because they are the best team in the country. But I think if anybody is to do it, it's Offaly's. And the reason I give us a chance is that we have two things in particular. We have massive pace within the team now. whether we're conditioned enough or not to match these dubs, I don't know. But we have excellent forwards, and I think that they'll be clinical. These guys are good. The likes of David Clifford, as I said, Shawnee Shea, Paul Gainey, Stephen O'Brien, they're clinical. If they get chances, I guarantee you they'll take them, you know. And because these guys, as I said to you, in particular the two younger guys, O'Shea and David Clifford, the temperament is top class. And Sunday won't faze them. They have been there before with the minors. And I know it's a huge step up, but I have every confidence in them, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited about it, and I'm still hoping for a Kerry win, obviously.
Mikey, thanks a million for taking the call. Really appreciate it.
No problem, lads. No bother.
Thanks, Mikey.
Kerry legend Mikey Sheehy there on the line. The confidence slowly building, Sean.
Yeah, he made some very good points. Mikey's always a good man to talk football. A few things I picked up on, Owen. First of all, just about the young guys. You know, we talk a lot about those five in a row minor teams that are after coming through Kerry.
Just for like people who wouldn't know, like you were obviously very involved in the development squads that would have produced those All-Ireland
Yeah, so I would have, not all of them, but a good few of them would have come through my hands. Once I stepped away from the county scene, Donald Daly down there, who's obviously very active in the underage coaching, just got a lot of, actually what he did was he just revamped the whole development squad system completely, and he got a lot of ex-players back involved, which I think was a huge thing, and put us all through our coaching badges, I suppose, for want of a better word, and just brought a real kind of professionalism to the underage setups down there. Now, there was fantastic work being done by the clubs anyway. The development squads really was just trying to get these young guys ready for the next step, which was a Kerry minor. But, you know, talking about winning All-Irelands is great at minor level, but it just prepares players for playing at Croke Park. The more games you play in Croke Park, the better. Mm. Okay, you know, Peter Keane alluded to last week about the likes of David Clifford and Shawnee Shea winning minor All-Irelands, playing in half empty stadiums as such for the minor final is nothing compared to what they're going to face on Sunday. But still, winning up there is definitely something that's, you know, they have in their armoury, and they can bring that confidence. And, you know, I think young guys these days anyway, I don't think things like that affect them, to be honest with you. And the second thing he mentioned was about the conditioning of the teams and that we have great pace. The question mark would be, you know, Dublin are down the road in terms of their conditioning development and the amount of work they've done. You know, we all see that picture going around on the internet of Conor Callaghan's physical development the last few years. What you have to understand is Kerry are at the start of this as such. You know, they brought in Jason McGahan, they're a well-renowned S&C coach last year, and he's in the first year of getting these guys ready. Now, is it a bit too soon for them to be in an All-Ireland final? Possibly. I remember in our days, Pat Flanagan, when he came in first, he actually took over in 2004, but I remember him telling us that he didn't think we'd peak until 2006.
Right.
But we won the All-Ireland in 04. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like we won the All-Ireland by accident. We just happened to be the best team in the country that year. But he said, no, conditioning-wise, we won't peak until 06. And what happened in 06? We won the All-Ireland again.
So very interesting.
It is. So McGahan is the start of his curve, if you get me. So that's one question mark I would have over the two teams the next day in terms of Dublin are well ahead in terms of their conditioning, you know?
Now I'm very confident we're going to stop the seven in a row. The Drive for Five special is taking over OTB Sports Radio all day from 7 a.m. to midnight with build-up to the All-Ireland football final. It's all with thanks to Tech7. Simply tech it and leave it. We've been doing the World Cup of Kerry and Dublin players over the last couple of hours. It is Kerry and Dublin players who've won All-Stars over the last 25 years was the loose criteria, and then we narrowed it down again. We had group stages, we had our last 16, and now we are into the quarterfinals. So the first winner of the last 16 was Cullum Cooper, who's made it through to the quarterfinal. He fended off the challenge of Mike McCarthy pretty comprehensively. 97% of the vote for Cullum Cooper. That is
I was actually voting on this coming down the bus, and I have to say I really felt sorry for Mike Mack when I saw the result there. But Mike, knowing Mike, he won't be too bothered.
Alan Brogan got a 3% score earlier on as well, okay, so he's in good company. He'll be up against Stephen Cluxton in the quarterfinal. Here's how Cluxton got on against Kieran Kilkenny. 88% of the vote there as well. Yeah. A couple of hammerings in the last 16. The second quarterfinal is going to be between Jack McCaffrey, because he just about beat Bernard Brogan. That was the tightest of all. That was the match of the round, really, beating Bernard Brogan 53% to 47%. Dermot Connolly will be McCaffrey's opponent. Dermot Connolly beat Paul Flynn, 73% of the vote going to Connolly. Quarterfinal three then, Morris Fitzgerald got a big old score in the last 16 as well, by all accounts. He got 84%, and he'll be up against Seamus Moynihan, who finished up on 67%. And then the final quarterfinal will be Tomás O'Shea, who beat Darragh O'Shea 55% to 45%. We can see who off the ball voted for there. And Brian Fenton beat James McCarthy 82% to 18%. So now it gets interesting. We're into the last eight. It's Gooch against Cluxton. It's McCaffrey against Connolly. It's Morris Fitz against Seamus Moynihan. And it's Tomás O'Shea against Brian Fenton. We're going to look at a quick tactics board in just a moment. But before that, here's Brian McGuigan talking about Dermot Connolly.
Dermot Connolly was the standout performer on the pitch. I think his intelligence in the play and his setting up of play. But I was very surprised at Tyrone not putting the man marker on him. And I thought at half time maybe they would have pushed somebody up on him to follow him just for the whole second half. But it never seemed to materialise. But you would have to say, just watching from the sideline, Connolly's play was very intelligent in that. When somebody was picking him up, he was drifting back and going behind the ball. And once the thrown player drifted back into his defence, then he was coming late and he was just dictating the whole play. And he was excellent today for Jim Gavin's team. And I think he's definitely going to have a big part to play in the semi-final and final if they get it. Maybe not a starting place, but definitely if they need a spark in the second half of a game, they could definitely call upon him.
Yeah, of course, do want to talk about your home county, but while you're on the topic, I should say, of Dermot Connolly, like, could you even nail down what position was he playing today? Because he seemed to kind of start in the half-back line, but then became a bit more advanced up the pitch maybe in the second half.
Yeah, I think he was just seeing the game as it played out, and any time he seen space, he drifted into it, and he seemed to have plenty of time on the ball. And look, don't get me wrong, if Dermot Connolly plays later on in the championship, he certainly will not get that space. But it was just a joy to watch him today, the range of passing that he had, and he scored an excellent point in the second half. And he was kind of like a link man. He was like a quarterback playing for Dublin today, and maybe that's something that they haven't got in their artillery, and that's something he could bring to their game.
Yeah, Brian McGuigan talking to Stephen Doyle there during the summer about Dermot Connolly. As you can see, we're at the tactics board with Sean O'Sullivan. We're going to look at a couple of things here. We're going to look at man marking jobs, who's going to take who, but we're going to start with the Kerry forwards.
Yeah, Owen, as Mikey mentioned in our call there, if Kerry are going to have any chance on Sunday, their forwards are going to have to be really, really on top of their game. We're going to have to be really economical. We're going to have to kill the ball, which is going to be crucial when we get into Dublin's third. We can't allow quick restarts from Cluxton by dropping the ball into his hands. And we're just going to have to make sure that ball is kicked dead, especially when it gets to Cluxton's kick out and how we set up. But we might get to that in a minute. But in terms of our forward setup, I'm actually very, very conscious of what Dublin are going to do with our centre forward, which will be Shaunie Shea, I would assume, unless Peter Keane is going to throw a real curveball. But Shaunie is having a fantastic year. Possibly a little bit quieter against Tyrone. And I think the reason why, and it kind of threw its head up as well in the league final against Mayo, the league final defeat. Shaunie Shea tends to sometimes drop a little bit too deep for my liking. He's obviously a very gifted footballer and wants to be on the ball and be involved. But we don't need Shaunie back here beyond our midfield getting ball where we want him receiving it. We want him receiving it up here where he's going to cause trouble. In terms of who's picking him up, Keane O'Sullivan obviously is Dublin's renowned centre-back. If Keane O'Sullivan is detailed to mark Shaunie Shea, Keane often drops back and protects his full back line when the play is moving up the field. So, for instance, David Moran has a ball or whoever's partnering him has a ball and wants to play the ball forward. Keane is, you know, he's made an art now of knowing where the trouble is and going and helping out, firefighting, if you like. That's where Kerry would need to get Shaunie on the ball, because not only is he a very good kick passer and a guy that will link the play for us, but he's a super score taker from distance. And you'd just be wondering that if he got on the ball early and got us on the scoreboard, kicked a few scores for us, then that would make Keane O'Sullivan maybe decide, well, that can't happen anymore, or Jim Gavin might have to make a change. Now, on the flip side of that, Jim Gavin might decide that Shaunie Shea is just too dangerous a player to allow that space given to. So my feeling is that James McCarthy will actually start on him,
right,
and push right up on him and take him.
Right, that's interesting. Would that mean Keane O'Sullivan doesn't start?
Keane O'Sullivan either doesn't start or they find another role for him in the full back line, which I think would be a feather in the cap of Kerry, and it would be win number one for Peter Keane. But I genuinely think that Shaunie Shea would just have too much in the tank for Keane O'Sullivan legs-wise, and also if Keane O'Sullivan does play his normal game of dropping back, he's just too dangerous a player to leave free and give time on the ball to.
So what does he do if James McCarthy shows up in him? Because obviously McCarthy wants to go this way.
Yeah, if James McCarthy then comes on Shaun Shea, then Shaun's obviously going to have to be very disciplined in terms of tracking. But again, I would be conscious that he doesn't go too deep. You know, obviously James McCarthy likes driving forward and you have to go with your man. Mm. But that's okay. If Shaun Shea is dragged there, and this brings me back actually to my time playing, and it was something that Jack O'Connor told a half forward line that would usually be myself, Paul Galvin, Darren O'Sullivan, we'd usually be competing for those three spots, Owen Brosnan, okay? If one of you is dragged back the field, there has to be a presence on the 40. So if Shaun Shea gets dragged back, if Stephen O'Brien gets dragged back, if our number 10, whoever that may be, gets dragged back, you're just going to have to keep a presence on that line. So if we do turn the ball over, that we've got something to hit, even if two of you are dragged back, that this guy maintains the presence. Jack O'Connor would often tell us, whether it be myself and Galvin or Darren and Paul or myself and Owen, that if someone is dragged, maybe it'd be Declan might be dragged out of the centre forward spot, that if we maintain our presence there and just come in a little bit close along the 40, that if we turn the ball over here, that out ball is there to each flank. And you're probably asking why. Well, if you can get your man on the turn there, rather than receiving a straight ball, if you can get him turned, then you're on the run and you're into goal. And it's something that Kerry have, is an abundance of pace. We had it back in the noughties. Kerry have it too. Imagine Stephen O'Brien receiving a ball here and on the turn, attacking the Dublin full back line, or else looking for your Clifford, your Gainey, or whoever it may be inside. So it's fine getting dragged back, but once somebody is maintaining the presence on this line, it's important, preferably to Shaun himself. Mm. There's going to be times in the game where he's going to have to follow James McCarthy or Keane O'Sullivan, but trying to maintain that presence there. In terms of who picks who up here, look, it's very difficult to get inside Jim Gavin's head, but I would be thinking that I would say that John Small will probably be detailed to Stephen O'Brien. That would be my opinion. And inside, our two danger men inside are obviously David and Paul Gainey, David Clifford, Paul Gainey. I would think Johnny Cooper will get the job of marking David Clifford.
Okay.
He's been successful enough on him before. And I think that Mick Fitzsimmons would probably end up on Paul Gainey. Who else is in there with Kerry is the big question.
That is the big question.
That's the big question.
Well, if you're Peter Keane, like, the big question is it Tommy Walsh or not?
Yeah, I think Kerry won't start Tommy Walsh.
Okay.
Look, I was at the Tyrone game and I was actually behind the Canal Inn goal for the first half. And I said to a friend of mine that was with me at the game at halftime that it was crying out for Tommy Walsh because the way Tyrone played, dropping their numbers back, David Clifford and Paul Gainey were getting so frustrated that they ended up coming way out the field and we had no target man inside. David Moran actually found himself drifting in at one stage in on top of the square and called for a ball. Was unlucky not to get it. It was crying out for Tommy. And when Tommy came on around the 50-minute mark up on the other side of the field, it worked a dream.
Yeah.
I just don't think starting Tommy... I think Tommy might be a plan B for Kerry. I think Killian Spillane will get the nod.
Right.
He wasn't brilliant against Tyrone, but he has shown that he's well able to score, and I think it'll be a different type of game than the Kerry-Tyrone match. What I think Kerry will actually try and do is replicate what they did, especially in the first half against Mayo and Killarney. Like, let's be honest, that was Kerry's best championship performance so far this summer.
Yeah.
And what they did was they asked Paul Gainey and James O'Donoghue, who question marks over James's fitness, although his word has it is that he's going to be in the 26 and that he's going quite well in training for a guy that hasn't a lot of game time. The two lads dropped deep. Stephen O'Brien was given a free roll, which I think they'll be given again on Sunday. That's where he's most effective. And inside, you had David Clifford and Shaun Shea actually pushed in deep. And your other corner on that day, sorry, that was James O'Donoghue, and Stephen O'Brien was pulled out deep and Shaun Shea was pushed in. So what they'll try and do, Kerry, is replicate what they did that day, where you had Stephen and Shaun Shea out deep linking. And you had David Clifford and Shaun Shea, inside, and out around here you dropped Paul Gainey and James O'Donoghue deep. They might even pull Killian Spillane out. they'll just try and upset the Dubs a small bit early on, I would say.
And we all know what happens. The Dublin reaction to that is the Keogh Sullivan back, and you've just explained what happens
exactly,
when that happens.
So
it's very interesting. Yeah, there is a clear way that Kerry can actually get their way into this game offensively.
Well, Kerry have to get their four best forwards on the ball. Mm. Their four best forwards are Paul Gainey, David Clifford, Stephen O'Brien and Shaun Shea. They are our match winners. If we can get a return from Killian Spillane, I think our other forward will be Gavin White. Now, I say forward in inverted commas.
He'll be on Jack McCaffrey.
He'll be on Jack McCaffrey, I think, to do a job on him, which is very, very difficult, but he will be a runner on Jack. So that leaves us really with five forwards. And if we can get a return from Killian Spillane, who I believe will start ahead of Tommy Walsh, along with the four other guys, we have a chance.
Just very quickly then, just the matchups. I know we're out of time here. The matchups on Kerry's
side.
Yeah,
so again, I'm going to throw a curveball here. I think our full back line will line up with, I think Tadhg Morley will have to go on Con O'Callaghan. I know he's marked Kilkenny before and done quite well, but I can't see the Kerry management moving him out of the full back line. I think Tom O'Sullivan will pick up Paul Mannion. Tom has done very well on some good players this season. He'll get a tough, obviously a very tough task on Paul Mannion, and that leaves Jason Foley on Dean Rock. Out the field, I think Paul Murphy will be detailed on Scully. I think Gavin Crowley will pick up Howard, and this is the one, this is the big one that's causing question marks in Kerry on Kieran Kilkenny. I'm actually going to plump for Shane Enright. I think he's got the physicality. He'd relish the challenge, knowing Shane. He'd really relish that challenge of trying to shut down, I think, Dublin's key man, even though Kieran Kilkenny would have had better years in the past up to now. Famous last words. But I think Enright is a guy that could get the nod there. If not, then Tom Sullivan may be detailed to go out on him, and possibly Breno Begliuk may come in here in the fullback line.
Very interesting shout, because I thought the Michael Murphy experiment wasn't as bad as people thought, or Shane Enright in that position out the field actually was pretty good that day. And
I think Shane Enright's best game for Kerry this year has been against Mayo.
Yeah.
And he played out around the half-back line. Now, obviously, look, it's a different, completely different kettle of fish picking up Kieran Kilkenny. But I think it's a guy that could relish the challenge.
It's a good shout, Sean. Thanks for that. That's a tactics board. We've got more coming up in just a moment. We've got Mark O'Shea and Darragh Kinnaird standing by. Before that, though, let's hear what David Moran had to say after the All-Ireland semi-final win against Tyrone.
I'm joined now by Kerry's David Moran, who is, I'm not surprised, rehydrating after that. That was an interesting game.
Yeah, it was, I suppose, look, semi-finals are all about winning. We weren't too bothered about how we played. It was just trying to get to the final, and thankfully we have.
When you say you weren't too bothered, I'd say at the same time you're probably glad that you're playing, I don't use the word improved, but you got a bit smarter in the second half.
We did. We weren't happy with our first half performance, and the scoreline reflected that, and we knew that we needed to up every facet in our game, especially our conversion, and thankfully we did.
Definitely, because when you watch the first half in particular, what kept you in it was a few little flashes of individual brilliance from Shaun O'Shea and David Clifford. I'm thinking of that point he got under the Cusick stand. That must have, you must guys must have known, we haven't performed and we're still there.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, he's the two lads are fantastic players, and it makes our job out a lot easier outside there when the two boys are inside.
No, definitely. And then you guys all finished the job then the second half. Now, here we are again now, Dublin drive for five. If any team knows what drives for fives, it's Kerry. Are you going to be able to do it? Can you stop Dublin?
I don't know. Look, it won't be from the lack of training anyway. You know, we're going to go out there and give it everything we have. Obviously, it's a huge game and a huge challenge. Dublin have been incredible over the last 5 years. They've played football the right way. They've conducted themselves in a great manner. And look, we're going to go up and give everything we have, and we'll see what happens.
David Moran there speaking to Mara Trasny Kialig after Kerry beat Tyrone in the All-Ireland football semi-final a few weeks ago. Delighted to say that we've got Mark O'Shea and Darragh Kinnaird with us on the line this afternoon. Good afternoon, lads.
How's it going?
We might start with you, Mark, if that's okay. We were going to chat about how things have changed between the last decade, Kerry in the noughties, and this decade. And I guess one of the key components of that is the presence of Dublin and the emergence of Dublin as a serious, unstoppable at times force. From your perspective, how did that view of Dublin change between the two decades? How much more seriously did you take them this decade, for example?
That is a total transformation, really, when you think about it, because I suppose in the last decade it was Tyrone and ourselves that were winning the All-Ireland, and you know, we were there 2000, 2004, 6, 7, 9. Tyrone were there 3, 05 and 08. So this year the Dubs have won 7 already, I think. And in the last decade, you know, we we were able to beat the Dubs fairly handy, and Tyrone were able to beat the Dubs fairly handy, and I don't think they like that much, you know. But I suppose 2011 was the big one. When they beat us in 2011, it kind of opened the door. It kind of, you know, they were a young team, and they had quality. And then when you look at 2013, they were able to add to that. They were able to bring in the likes of the Brian Clinton, the Kieran Kilkennys, the Paul Mannions, and they've been adding to that every year. You look at it this year, Conor Callaghan has really come of age. You know, there's, like, last year we were talking about Owen Merchant. He hasn't even got a look in this year. You know, Davey Byrne is playing so well. So they've been able to, that conveyor belt is continuously going. And, you know, whilst you say Kerry are winning five in a row, minor titles and all of that, you still, you know, and we have been producing players, and it's great, but I suppose Dublin has still been producing players, and that's the most important thing. And when you have players to come into a team that has senior players there already, I think it's so easy for players to gel in. You know, Barra's on the other line there, and he came into a team that had the likes of Maurice Fitzgerald and Liam Flaherty and Eamon Breen. Whilst if you look at this Kerry team, you know, there isn't that many senior players on it. So I suppose from that point of view, this Dublin team, they're a very mature team. They're able to kind of mix the young with the new, and they're in lethal form at the moment.
Dara, do you think that if Jim Gavin was manager of Dublin in the 2000s, they might have won an All-Ireland?
That's a conversation, I suppose, for a bar stool and for early hours in the morning. He's a fantastic manager. He's an amazing. He seems to have these lads drilled to the last. You know, every last detail is considered, and the approach is, you know, to the game. By and large, I think neutrals, maybe small, despite a small bit of begrudgery, they like the way this Dublin team plays football. It's probably unfair to say if he was this or if he was that, and if he was there instead of Tommy Lyons, Paul Caffrey and these lads, that they would have won more. You know, he is where he is now and the job he's doing. I'd like to take one All-Ireland off him, though. Mark gave him one too many. Like, you know, they don't have the seven yet, Mark. No. This decade anyway, but I was
never a maths teacher, Dara.
Yeah, neither was I, that's for sure. But Jim Gavin has done some job. I think you have to give Pat Gilroy a lot of credit too, because that was the one, you know, I suppose anybody that wins in All-Ireland, your first one is always the one, you know, where you have to break through barriers and different barriers, and Mark was playing that day, like, and Kerry did really well right to the end, like, and they had one hand in it, and Dublin managed to smash and grab. And from then on, you know, Gilroy's achievement in winning 11 even is huge, like, because, you know, they were coming from 2 years previously being beaten by a very strong Kerry team, and then making progress in 10, and then 11, just getting over the line and having the belief to force Kerry, you know, when the script seemed to be written, you know, and to change that course of history, like, and that's the one really, you know, that a lot of people in Kerry will point and say that was the moment where I suppose the monster was created from a Dublin point of view, like that the final ingredient of self-belief and conviction became a reality, and they get their hands in Sam Maguire, and after that, as they say, the process kicked in, and Jim Gavin's, you know, systems kicked in, and their abilities kicked in, and the results are there for all to see ever since.
Hi, Dara, Sean here. How are you?
Not too bad, Sean, but how's the form?
Good. You got down from Nevin, okay, did you?
I did. I was saying, I'm not half as tactically nuanced as you were. I was listening to you there earlier. You have the team picked already.
Andy Gray, your heart out. No, listen, just, I suppose, going to that and going to the tactics and what we were talking about, you know, for us to cause an upset on Sunday, and that's what it would be, our forwards are obviously going to have a very good day at the office. Obviously, being a top-class forward yourself, where can you see us getting at Dublin? You know, obviously, they're a fantastic team, as Mark alluded to, but, I mean, we have to go up there and attack them at some weak point. Is there a weak point? And if there is, where can we get at it?
You know, I mean, there's a perception that there's weak points under high ball and all this, you know. Rory O'Carroll was the last, I suppose, man that would stand his ground and battle, but Philly McMahon has done a good job there in recent years as well of standing ground and battling with physically superior players. So Mick Fitzsimons and Johnny Cooper, where you're looking down at them and you're saying, God, they're probably yielding a stone to their opponent here, but they're well able to come out with high balls as well. But you do have to try the high ball option. It has to be an option. I mean, we know how good Dublin are. This is the beauty of it from Kerry's point of view. You know, the graph is still rising. Dublin are spectacularly high for such a long time, but the graph is still rising in Kerry's point of view. Like, and you know, we don't know how good David Clifford can be. We don't know how good Sean O'Shea can be. Stephen O'Brien is as good now as we thought he could have been, you know, a number of years ago. He's becoming that good, really solid player that delivers performances all the time. Like, so, you know, looking for weaknesses in Dublin, I remember when we were winning, and you're listening to people talking about possible weaknesses, you know, in our teams, and you're saying, not really. The same is true for every team. You know, the same is true for a Kerry team. If you bombard them with a high ball, I'm sure one or two are going to break and you're going to get a goal off, and then there's a perceived weakness. The perceived weakness in the Kerry defensive system now is if you run at them, they will concede frees. But isn't the same true of all teams, really, if you create enough panic? You know, it's hard to preempt and to say, listen, what this is something that will definitely work against Dublin next Sunday if we do this. I mean, if you had three Tommy Welch's, three Kieran Donaghy's, which you don't, you know, that type of ball would struggle. They would struggle with, I'm sure, if you put three real, genuine ball-winning forwards deep inside and making the ball stick and making lads drift further back the field. But you don't have that. So what you do have is some players who we believe are going to be some of the great players that play the game, the David Cliffords, the Sean O'Shea's and these lads. So we don't know where next Sunday will take us, and that's a further step on the road. Will they go into their shells? I doubt they will. I think they'll perform the next day. I think these lads have been performing under pressure right throughout their development as footballers, and it's just the next natural step for them. So if there is a perceived weakness, and there's a lot of chatter about that, you know, that Dublin don't like a high ball and they don't like this and that, same is true for every team. You know, this is a kind of a... It's a kind of a stick to beat teams with, and it's something for us to be talking about to appear clever. Like, we don't know. Like, I mean, nobody knows. Nobody will have studied them as much as, let's say, Eamon Fitzmaurice did for the previous 6 years. Peter Keane and his crew have for this year. So, and you know, the Mayo lads would have studied them over the years. Like, and we've seen signs every now and then that would give encouragement to other teams. But we don't. It's not a tactic, and it's not certainly not a strategy to base an All Ireland final on. You know.
And Mark, I know our you know, we've been critical of our defenders, and as Dara alluded to about when we ran at, but you know, the question mark I would have, and definitely I'd like to hear your opinion on it, you know, given that you were the last line of defence many a day with Kerry. I mean, where are the runners coming from? Is it an issue further up the field, or is it maybe just a little bit of lack of leadership at the back, that guys are going forward and there's no cover slotting in for them?
I just think the semi-finals, I just think we were left a bit open at the back. And I know you had Paul Murphy back there sweeping, you know, and I know his role was taken into question in terms of where he was actually positioning himself. But to be honest with you, I was very impressed with the Kerry full-back line. I thought they acquitted themselves very well in the semi-final, particularly when there was so much pressure on them in that first half, Jason Foley and Tyke Morley. The one thing, and Peter Keane has really gone up my estimation, because the one thing he's doing with his team, he is playing players in positions that they haven't been that used to. We all saw Shane Enright a few years ago as a cornerback and nowhere else. Now we see him out in the half-back line. We've seen Gavin White as a defender throughout his career. Now he's up in the half-forward line. You know, so Tyke Morley is back in the full-back line. Now that was a needy area, particularly when Peter Crowley got injured. Yes. And I think the Kerry full-back line have acquitted themselves very well. Also then, you know, as the game wore on, it was clear that Kerry needed to, you know, tighten up things in defence, and they did that at half time. They regrouped and they came out in the second half, and there's always going to be periods. Look, you saw I went up to two semi-finals and I saw Mayo cause Dublin bother in the first half, and if they had better forwards they possibly would have got more scores on the board. So, you know, I think that Kerry, I'd agree with that. I think Kerry's curve is on the up, and you know, great credit has to go to Peter Keane in the way he has kind of molded players into positions. And you know, while I'm talking about that, you talk about, I mentioned Gavin White going up wing forward. You know, there's no doubt about it, but that John Small is going to be stuck on to Sean O'Shea the next day wherever he goes. And you know, I was above in Navin as well, and watching Sean O'Shea, he played large parts of the game inside full forward. So, you know, I think you have to take players out of their comfort zones. Yeah. And, you know, if it's the case for John Small, I'm sure, will be looking at tapes of the National League final and how Lee Keegan was stuck on to Sean O'Shea. And, I, you know, you'd like to think that if that was the case, you take John Small out of his comfort zone, bring him back into the full forward line, and then see. Because when you are playing in that last line of defence, it's a lot different playing in the full back line as it is the half back line. You can't take as much chances. You know, all you have to do there is ask Lee Keegan when he slipped against Conor Callaghan. So it's an area where you do take a player out of his comfort zone. So I think the next day the game is going to be intriguing. You're going to have so many different battles. Obviously, if Kerry are to win, they're going to really have to get a lot of things right. Dublin could possibly be at 60%, 70% to win, but Kerry need to be at 85%, 95% to win this game.
Just before we get your predictions, Mark, one last question for you. If you had a choice, who would you rather mark, Conor Callaghan or Paul Mannion?
It's a tough one. It's a really tough one. I'd nearly prefer to mark Conor Callaghan, because I just think any man that Paul Mannion, he can just get the ball. He can score from a standing position, you know. And he's so dynamic. Now the thing about Conor Callaghan, he's similar in that when he gets the ball, he does take you on, you know. But I think that, you know, you look at the second half, the Dublin Mayo game, and granted Dublin put on a performance. It was incredible, but you know, I think Mayo led to their. You know, their defending was, you know, if you were a Mayo person playing in that game and you look back at the defending that they had in the second half, they won't be happy with that. It was, you know, you'd like to think that the Kerry defenders would do a lot better under the same pressure as Mayo were under. And I think the Kerry defence would be a lot more solid the next day. I don't think you'll see fellas, you know, in the same position, you know. And I think when Lee Keegan went out the field, he had a far better game, you know. But certainly I don't think Mayo got the matchups right the last day. I think if Kerry get the matchups right the next day, we're in with a far better chance.
100%. We'll go to our predictions then. Dara, we'll start with you. What way are you seeing this on Sunday?
You know what the heart says anyway. Look, if you're being true to all the evidence in front of you, like, you have to acknowledge, like, Dublin are a serious, serious team, and it's going to take a serious performance to beat them. And, you know, they're probably their performances, I won't say have dipped in All-Ireland finals, but they haven't given season-high performances in the All-Ireland finals up to now. This is probably a big target for them to give an actual masterclass in an All-Ireland final. Kerry are less predictable. We genuinely don't know where mm-hmm. where this team is going. Their graph is on the up and up, and we don't know where they're going to finish up. There is an All-Ireland in this group of Kerry footballers. I have no doubt about that. I don't go buy into the notion that it might come a year or two too early, but... It's a chance of a lifetime for Kerry, and it's not a game that you have nothing to lose, and it's not a free shot. It's an All-Ireland final, and if they get an awful lot right, you know, and they're going to have to get season-high performances out of almost, you know, at least 12 footballers out there the next day, like, and you know, that's a lot of ifs. And whereas we know on the evidence up to now that Dublin have done it consistently, maybe not so much in an All-Ireland final, but it's, you know, they have done it over the course of 4 or 5 years. You know, logic would say Dublin, you know.
For sure. Dara, thanks many for taking the call. Enjoy the game as much as you can on Sunday. Mark O'Shea, what way are you calling it?
Yeah, you know, you'd have to go along with that. As I said earlier, I think Kerry, to win this game, they have to be at 90%. Dublin could afford to be at 65%. Kerry need to get all the matchups right. You know, I think in the full back line, we have to negate the influence of Conn O'Callaghan and Paul Mannion. You know, what's Peter Keane going to do with his matchups? Middle of the field, I think, you know, they're going to go after Shane Ryan for his kickouts. And I think Kerry need to kind of maybe load one side of the field. I think they need to go along with their kickouts. We can't be putting Shane Ryan and the defence under pressure with our kickouts. And again, like Dara said, there is a lot of this there. You know, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that Kerry can win this match. They can. They have great forwards. They have match winners. If we can get enough of ball into them, who knows? And we've seen during the course of the year teams putting Dublin under pressure, the likes of Cork and that. And if we get enough of possession in the middle of the field, I'd say Kerry could possibly do it. But if I was to you know, my heart certainly says Kerry, but I would go along with Dara and say, you know, Dublin had the players, you know, to win this match. And if Dublin play to their level, they should win it.
Good stuff, Mark. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and we'll chat to you soon.
Thanks, sir.
Mark O'Shea and Dara O'Connaida on the line there. The Drive for Five special is taking over OTB Sports Radio all day from 7 a.m. to midnight. We build up to the All-Ireland Football Final. It's all with thanks to Tech7. Simply tech it and leave it. If you're just joining us, it is Owen and Sean O'Sullivan here in studio. We've got about 5 or 10 minutes left on the Kerry Hour here. It's going to be a Kerry 70 minutes, really. And I'm delighted to say that Barry John Keane joins us on the line. Good afternoon, Barry John.
How are you doing, Ben?
very well. So it's been a pretty good summer for you, which we'll get to on a moment. But with a bit of a build-up down there, do you start to miss being around a Kerry camp on a week like this?
You'd have a few feels for it. One door closed, another open for me. So I'm just going to be a supporter for this weekend like I was all summer.
Before we get into the game, just talk about that open door. It was a summer away. It was a summer that resulted in you scoring a vital goal at the end of the championship in the United States. Talk to us about that and how good the football was over there.
Yeah, I know. I enjoyed my few weeks now. No, it was a good old standard. We were lucky enough to come away with a victory in the end. Probably weren't the best team all summer, but when it came to the crunch, thankfully, we took it in the end.
How hard are you guys training over in the States during the summer? Is it anywhere comparable to an intercounty standard, even when it gets to the white heat of battle near the closing stages?
We use training two nights a week the same as back home, and you do your own gym sessions. But those two nights on Tuesday and Thursday would have been more running than I would have done back here. Put it that way, it was very similar to a few of the lads are from Donegal themselves. Like, so, a similar setup to them where it was just a lot of running, and with that 90 to 100 degrees Fahrenheit, it didn't help either.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. So this week for a Kerry footballer, what's it like? You've been down there now for the last couple of days. Is the hype starting to build? Will it be something that if you're nervous disposition, it might affect you a bit this week, or will it be kind of water off a duck's back?
I say most of the lads, the older fellas have been there already, and the younger fellas have a lot of experience with minor level and won a lot of things at school, so I don't want to say it's a one shot for them, but they're going to enjoy it. They're going to enjoy this opportunity. They're not going to hold back. They haven't really held back in the last few games. They've been playing with serious confidence. And I think the big test was against Tyrone when it looked like it was probably going to swing away. And they made a few substitutions, and they changed the board, and they're going to be very confident going into the final after that.
Barry John, Sean Bourne here. How's it going?
How are you doing, Sean?
Good, good. Welcome back. Rahilly's a good tip for the championship.
I don't know.
Listen, I want to talk about your two club mates, actually, David and Tommy. I want to start with Tommy. What a fairy tale it would be for him to either start or come on Sunday, considering, I suppose, when he came back from Australia, there was a lot of hype about him that he was going to slot back into an All-Ireland winning team, really, and that he was going to push on to the next level. Obviously, injury came in the way. A great guy, and a guy that just put his head down, stepped back from it and worked hard, and now he's got his opportunity again.
Yeah, it's been a long journey. From 2009, as you played with him, he nearly carried Kerry to that Ireland final in that second half when things were about to get tough, and he took his opportunity. He went away. He probably enjoyed his 5 years. Probably didn't get as much out of it as he would have liked. Not a hard decision, probably, to walk away from that lifestyle. And said he'd come back, and he was still young. He's still only 24, and he said he'd give Kerry a go again. And the hamstring injury didn't help, and just you need your breaks as well. And unfortunately, he didn't when he came back, and he was strong enough upstairs to say, look, this isn't for me at the moment. I need to go back and play football. I need to go back and enjoy football. And that's what he did with Stranraer. There was probably no pressure. And I think he actually, his goal wasn't to probably get back in McCurry. It was just to enjoy it. And thankfully enough, he got a chance, and he took it.
Do you think he'll start on Sunday?
Personally, no. I think, I know it's probably been said on the show already, but if both teams are still in the last 20 minutes, I think it's going to come down to the impact of the subs. I really do. I think Kerry need to be there or thereabouts, or even more ahead than Mayo were, and in control in the first half, because Dublin are going to get two purple patches. They seem to get it straight after half-time, where it's 10 or 15 minutes. And if they blow most teams away. But if Kerry are still there after a purple patch, Dublin seem to get another purple patch with 60 minutes to go. So if they're going to have to meet two purple patches, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, I agree 100%. I actually wrote about it for the Kerry men in my preview of the game. If Kerry are going to have any chance in this, we're going to have to replicate what Mayo did in the first half. And as Barry John said, we're going to have to tack on at least another 4 or 5 points and be leading by that amount going in at half time. And obviously a man pivotal to that, if that's going to happen, is your other club mate, Barry John, is David Moran. And again, another man that's had his injury woes down through the years. But, that performance in Killarney, I presume you were away for it, but you probably saw it.
I was watching it, yeah.
His performance against Mayo, in my opinion, Barry John, is up there with one of the best games. And we've played with David, you've played with him at club level, I've played with him county. It's up there with one of the best performances he's ever put in.
Yeah, look, that man has had shown some adversity with his two cruciates and his eye, and he didn't get much. When he seems to get injured, he's out for more than other people would be, and he's just mentally tough. It's a big game the next day for him. It's a big ask. You're looking at the two best midfielders the last 6 or 7 years. To be honest with you, I prefer if they didn't mark each other so you could see the two of them express themselves. Yeah. Like in an Ireland final day, you don't want them to be cancelling each other out. Mm. I think every fan, even outside of Kerry and Dublin, would like to see the two of them lord it. Mm. There's no point line. It's the main part of the game. Whoever controls it or wins it is going to give their team a better chance of winning it.
The other main part of the game, Barry John, is obviously the Cluxton kick-out. You know, mm-hmm. you played the majority of your career under Eamon and his management team. What kind of, just for our listeners and viewers, what kind of detail went into to trying to, you know, gain any little advantage at all? You know, what kind of analysis would you have gone into as a forward line, for instance, on how you would set up? Was it a press? Was it a drop off, or was it a mix? And what do you think Kerry should go with the next day?
It varied on different occasions, but I think the press worked a few times. But if that press then is, it's like if you press too high and it goes over the top, you're probably leaving a bit of space behind, and that's where Dublin will exploit. Like, I think they're very good at like just picking holes. Like, he might make one mistake, Cluxton, but he'll know the next kick out, and their players are just tuned in. They're very robotic, as in they know what they're doing, and it's going to be very tiring for Kerry because they're going to try to be getting scores. They're going to try to rattle off a few goals, and they need to be tuned in straight away for his kick out, and that's hard to do for 70 or 80 minutes.
Mm. One way of stopping the Cluxton kick out, Barry John, would be to walk up to the tee and kick the ball off it as a Kerry man.
That would only last for a few seconds.
Listen, Barry John, enjoy the game on Sunday. Thanks, Millie, for taking the call.
Thank you very much.
See you, Barry John.
Barry John Keane there, home and in the country after a pretty good summer abroad. Mm. That is our hour, done and dusted. Sean, thanks, Millie, for popping in. We didn't get your prediction for the game, so 30 seconds to tell us what's going to happen.
I wrote during the week about in 1980 the US hockey team were going up against the Russians in the Winter Olympics on, and the Russians were going for their fifth gold medal in a row, and nobody gave the US a chance, but their coach Herb Brooks gave one of the greatest speeches of all time, and he just basically said that great moments are born from great opportunities. If we played these guys 9 times out of 10, if we played them 10 times, they beat us 9 times out of 10, but maybe not tonight. Maybe not tonight, and the Americans went on and won. Look, maybe I'm being romantic. Maybe I'm
miracle on grass is what we'll call it.
Yeah. Well, look, again, it's hard to see past the Dublin win. They have all the aces in the pack. They're just a formidable side, but maybe, just maybe, that one chance Kerry might have. And I agree with Darragh Kinnaird. As Kerry people, we don't see this as we're going up there with nothing to lose. You don't go up to Croke Park with nothing to lose as a Kerry person, because of our tradition and what we have available to us. So, unfortunately, it's a heart says Kerry, head says Dublin.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. Sean, thanks, Millie, for popping into the studio this afternoon. Very much enjoyed it. We've got a fantastic few hours lined up for you on our Drive for Five special on OTB Sports Radio. Joe Malloy is going to be joined in studio by Paul Rouse and Judge Brian McMahon. Back after these.